You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class on this midweek Wednesday here at KGYM. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass. We're brought to you each and every day by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. And for more information, go to our website at kgymradio.com. Great show. We are packed today. Cal Eldred, the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, will join us to talk Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll take a look back at the Royals' 2021 season and more with Cal. We'll do that in about 10 minutes. Chris Liss of rotowire.com as well joins us to answer your fantasy football questions. So get those ready to go at 319-366-1600. By the way, that is our text line available to you at any time at 319-366-1600. Phone line, same number, 319-366-1600. Again, thanks to DuPaco Community Credit Union, our daily sponsor of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. And thanks for tuning in, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM mobile app, smart speaker, and of course, KGYM stream at kgymradio.com. American League wild card winner, your Boston Red Sox. They took it to the Yankees. Yankees did not play a great game. Garrett Cole did not have it. Mark and I are 0-1 in our picks so far in the baseball playoffs in 2021. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Well, certainly got a whiff on that one, and Nathan Eovaldi was really good, and the Red Sox got some timely hitting, and the result is 6-2 win over the Yankees, and now we go into tonight's National League wild card, a game I'm really looking forward to.
I am as well. Watch it between frames with a lot of Cardinal fans on the Rusty Nails tonight. So, yeah, Cardinals and the Dodgers. Dodgers with the weight of the world upon their shoulders. Without Max Muncy and taking on a red-hot St. Louis Cardinal team led by a red-hot veteran pitcher who has been there before. Many, many times. I know this. If the Dodgers do not win, and we'll talk with Cal about this, this season with 100-plus wins still going to be considered probably a failure. So we'll talk about that and how much pressure there is on Los Angeles coming up in just a little bit. Of course, Boston winning last night. All four of our frequencies will have the Cardinals and the Dodgers tonight. The NL wild card, and that comes your way at 6:30 tonight. Then tomorrow at 3 o'clock on 107.5 FM, it will be game one of the American League Divisional Series as the Chicago White Sox take on the Houston Astros. And that will get underway with a first pitch at about 3:10 tomorrow. We'll have all of our frequencies at 6 o'clock on that particular ball game. And perhaps it'll be over by then. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Then at 7 o'clock, 107.5 and 106.3 FM will split off into Thursday Night Football, the Rams and the Seahawks. A good one on a Thursday night. And then 1600 and 102.3 FM will stay with baseball for game one of Boston and Tampa from down at Tampa coming up tomorrow. And Friday, we'll have that schedule for you after the program right here on KGYM. Got a lot of sports coming up. Football, baseball, namely the two. But we got it right here on KGYM.
Yeah, really, really busy week ahead the next few days. And I think there's four games on Friday in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and of course you've got high school football and whatnot, and then on Saturday more of the same, plus college football.
Yeah, a little thing called number three, number four on Saturday. We have not forgotten about. Tomorrow, Bob Flounders is going to join us, who covers Penn State, and we will talk about the Nittany Lions, Iowa, Penn State, number three versus number four. Really looking forward as far as that game is concerned. We'll also have your What to Look For Tonight, and that is brought to you by the Double Z on Ellis Boulevard. We're going to talk about that coming up on the program today as well. But we talked about Boston's win last night. A lot being made about a coaching gaffe, if you will. Yankee third base coach sending Aaron Judge home was thrown out on a ball that went off of the monster. Really didn't have a bearing on the game. Joey Gallo then popped out. No one would have scored on that. It would have taken a two-out hit by the number five batter for the Yankees. To me, the Yankees just were not in that game from the get-go. Giancarlo Stanton in the first inning, thought he tattooed one over the Green Monster, got into the home run trot, kind of did a half flip, and then kind of had an egg on his face when the ball went off the top of the monster, and that was for a long single. And I think that kind of set the tone, I thought, for the Yankees for the rest of the night.
Yeah, I thought the Yankees were off, to your point, and Stanton on that play should have been at second base. He's played enough at Fenway Park to know that that could hit high off the wall and result get into scoring position, whatnot. As far as the Judge play, yeah, it was probably a mistake, but Yankees trying to make something happen at that point, and just not clicking last night for the Yankees.
Yeah, you got to have a perfect throw as far as that is concerned, and credit to Kiki Hernandez and the Red Sox. They had a perfect relay, and really wasn't even close at the plate. Nailed him right there, and that took the Yankees out of what could have been potentially a big inning. But like I said, Joey Gallo, who's been a huge disappointment since he was traded from the Rangers to the Yankees, popped out well under 200, and the Yankee fans have not let him forget about that going into the postseason, and probably have not let up again here today. News a little bit closer to home before we get to Cal Eldred coming up in just a few minutes here. We will talk Major League Baseball with Cal in just a little bit. From the Yes, We Anticipated This news department, as far as high school athletics is concerned, it is now official. The River Valley Conference has accepted the memberships of two schools that will be leaving the WAMAC Conference. That would be Maquoketa and Dyersville-Beckman. They are going to be joining up with the River Valley Conference, and that will be next year, as a matter of fact, 2022-2023 year. That being reported by several folks, including Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and they will keep the two divisions. Maquoketa and Beckman will go into the north, along with former WAMAC member Anamosa. A lot of these were in the Big Bend. You remember the Big Bend Conference, Mark, don't you?
I do. Gosh, there's been so many conferences, it's hard to keep track of, but this makes perfect sense, and we saw this coming both geographically and enrollment-wise for either Maquoketa or Dyersville-Beckman, and they'll be both in the same division.
Yeah, basically the North is going to be the old Big Bend plus a couple other teams like, Bellevue and Northeast Goose Lake. South will be the old Eastern Iowa Hawkeye Conference still, with Durant, Regina, Mid-Prairie, Tipton, West Branch, West Liberty, and Wilton. So that's a good league. Now, what's WAMAC going to do with 11? Because, the River Valley has had 13 since its inception, so they have kind of learned how to deal with an odd number. The WAMAC really does not want to deal, from what I hear, with the odd number. So they are going to be on the lookout for a 12th member. Mississippi Valley is still on the lookout after Waterloo East departs after this year. And so the deck chairs have not been fully arranged on the ship yet as far as conference realignment in high schools in Eastern Iowa is concerned.
Duck, duck, goose, find a chair.
Yeah, kind of the way it is. It is going. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on this Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Great to have you aboard. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview for you coming up tonight as well, as we try to get back on the winning track. And There is a little bit more. We have a little bit more to our Bowling Night in America preview. We have kind of a wraparound Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last week. We've found out, don't we, Mark?
We do, and I'll bring it to you whenever that segment is introduced. And a couple comments on the text line about that Yankee game last night. Adam the Mason. I don't think it helped the Judge turned like a cruise ship coming around third. I like that turn of phrase, Adam.
Oh, man.
0835, I don't know what was worse, the home run trot or the Yankees announcer's call.
Well, John Sterling is right up there among great baseball broadcasters. Mm. Yeah, that's all we'll say. Yeah, again, the Yankees just didn't have it last night. We're going to talk about baseball. We're going to do that next. Cal Eldred's going to join us, the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, our baseball contributor throughout the month of October, and I can't wait to talk with Cal, and we'll do that coming up next as you're listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. More to come after this.
You want your lights on and your garage door going up and down and your refrigerator refrigerating. And so do the people at Lynn County REC, because they live here and work here just like you do. They have kids in school here, shop on Sunday afternoons here, cheer on the sidelines here, and need their lights and garage doors and fridges to work just like you do. That, in a nutshell, is what an electric cooperative is. Members who share a community, choosing the best options for affordable, reliable, safe energy. When the member leaders of Lynn County REC make decisions, they're keeping their own family and yours in mind. The choices they make directly affect them, the same way they affect you. So they consider each option carefully. And as with any electric cooperative, any profit made during the year is shared back with members like you. Those are just some of the benefits of membership at Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative. October is National Cooperative Month. Find out even more at lynncountyrec.com.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
The Iowa Secretary of State wants you to be a voter in the November 2nd city and school election. Here are some important dates to remember. If you want to vote by mail, you'll need to request your ballot by Monday, October 18th, and return it to your county auditor by November 2nd. You can vote in person at your county auditor through November 1st, and polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Election Day. For more info, visit voterready.iowa.gov. Sponsored by the Iowa Secretary of State's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Welcome back to the Gym Class here on KGYM at 3:17. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. Each Tuesday with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, they check in with Kirk Ferentz and his weekly news conference. Did that yesterday if you want to go back and listen to the podcast. And that is brought to you, Kirk's comments, the coach's cuts, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They are online at ncsei.com. And you hear those comments on Tuesdays right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is the text line as we come your way here on the Wednesday edition of the program. And we are so very pleased, Mark, to bring in a friend of the show, one of the more popular segments we've ever had here on the program. He moved on to greener pastures after being on with yourself and me, Mark, or myself, and it's bad English. You can figure that out later on. It's Cal Eldred, the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, our baseball contributor emeritus, and somewhere near a tree stand right now, or in the last couple days anyway after the season. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Mark? How are you, Scott? You guys doing good?
Doing great. Doing great.
Doing great, Cal.
Ready for some playoff baseball, which we got last night.
No doubt. That was I was going to text you guys ahead of time and tell you I was going to pick Boston, but now it sounds like I just felt like with the way they were going and the Yankees having to go back to Fenway, and the Yankees always seem like they're going to turn the page and go the right direction, and then they don't. But it was a fun one to watch last night.
Well, let's talk about your Royals for a little bit, and I'm not going to steal Scott's golden question, but Let's talk about pitching since you are the pitching coach, and really a ton of injuries this year. You used 30 pitchers. Maybe a couple of those were position players, but it was kind of a revolving door, unfortunately. But Cal, this is a team, as you know, fell behind early in the season, but had a winning record after the All-Star break. So what are your general thoughts?
Well, you know, and us, like a lot of teams, kind of felt the sting of pitchers not pitching a full season last year. And if you know, the baseball fans around, obviously looking at the major league teams and seeing injuries to key pitchers, whether they're in the bullpen or whether they're starters, you know, it happened. You look at the minor leagues and see some of the injuries and guys who had to get shut down. Even the fact that a lot of organizations protected some of their, and well, not some, but every one of their pitchers, really, in the number of pitches they threw per inning. And so that was something that was part of this season that really is very rarely dealt with in the norm after, what was a pretty crazy season last year. But, Mark, you really alluded to the fact that our team in Kansas City, we went from having guys like Danny Duffy, Mike Minor, Brad Keller, those guys kind of that were supposed to be mainstays in our rotation. And by the end of the year, actually by August, we didn't have any of those guys in our rotation other than Minor and Mikey shut down just before the season was over with. And at one point at the end of the year, we had five guys who were all drafted in the 2018 draft in our starting rotation, which that sounds, people are like, wow, that's drastic and maybe reaching for straws. But as you guys saw, these guys deserve to be there. And actually in the second half, that record turned around. Our bullpen really stepped it up with a couple additions of Piamps and Tapia from other organizations, and then bringing up some of the younger guys from our minor leagues. But our starting rotation stepped it up too, and we were you know, towards the top end of the league, actually in the top 10, I know, in ERA with starters and as a team. So the guys got better, but Mark, you alluded to it. We had two long losing streaks early in the season that really put us behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and well, I have to ask you this, and how much fun was it this year to just take in the great year that Salvador Perez had? Not only catching your guys, but just doing what he did with the bat. And we said it a couple days ago that if it wasn't for, you know, like a Guerrero performance and Shohei Ohtani, what he's doing with the Angels, doing a double duty, this would have been an MVP year for Sal Perez. There's no doubt about it. But how much fun was it to see that every day?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that most people got to watch, Scott, and that they really like is watching him swing the bat. He can hit a baseball out of any ballpark, out of any field, out any direction, and you just never know when he's going to do it. And he comes up big so many times for our team. But yet I get the pleasure of working with him every day, setting up a game plan for each one of our starting pitchers, talking about how our relievers should attack the other team from a pitching standpoint, and then watching him go out and execute it. And Salvi takes a lot of pride in his catching. He's a multiple Gold Glove winning catcher, and he that means as much to him as swinging the bat. There's a lot on this guy's plate, and when you see a catcher that does what he did this year, it is an MVP season. And like you said, there's some guys that had some really, really good years. But it was a joy to watch Salvi, and it was even more of a joy and fun to work with him.
Cal, I'm not familiar with your contract, but is your return to Kansas City in your court or the Royals, especially considering you have a new general manager now?
Yeah, we're in an interesting situation, obviously, because owners and the players have not agreed to a new agreement yet. So that can have some things to do with what ownership's going to do. We have a new ownership that last year was their first season. They spent over $1 billion on a team that only played 60 games. You know, there were them. So, and they're doing it at Dodger Stadium. But, you guys know I, as a Cardinal player, we always seem to have a pretty good time playing the Dodgers in the playoffs early, in the early rounds anyhow, but it's going to be a tough one tonight.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, folks.
You're back.
I'm back, Scott.
Yeah, you're back, Mark. You don't sound like Jabba the Hutt now, so.
Cal, you know, both of us are, all three of us are American League Central fans. Curious what you thought of the White Sox running away with the division, but also Detroit coming along. They had a winning record after the All-Star break. The Twins kind of floundered, and we've already talked about your Royals. So what do you think the immediate future is of that division?
Well, you know, the first thing you do is just how did the teams perform this year? And the thing you mentioned, I think each team other than the division winner got better with their own players. And you see that Minnesota made some changes. They gave guys some chances. I think they – you know, and Mark, you know this, they had some injuries to some younger players that they would have liked to have gotten a chance to look at even more. They've got some interesting young arms that they got a chance to use and utilize and give some time to, including this young starter, Jax. I think they're a team that I think they feel like they still have a solid base of players. They have to decide who they're going to keep. I think you look at Buxton, and he may be the key to that ball club, and how what they're gonna do with him, and I think that's a big key for them. You jump over to Detroit. Detroit, to a certain extent, I would say probably after a couple months of the season, you felt like they changed their hitting philosophy, which they were trying to cut down on strikeouts. They were trying to put the ball in play. They were trying to go the other way. Made them tougher to pitch to, and so I think that's that, and some of their young starting pitching and some of their bullpen arms made them a better club. And you can say the same thing about our own club. The young arms came up. The team pitched better. Offense, we got to decide what we're going to do with a guy like Mondesi. You know, and those are tough questions. But I think in our own division, Cleveland, we didn't, you know, talking about them, they always have pitched good. So they've got some talent that in the trade for Lindor, they got a second baseman and a shortstop in that deal. So I think you've got a division that's getting better, and I think we're going to see some really, really close ball games like we played with Detroit all year long, and it's going to be who matches up best with who. We've had an issue with Cleveland early in the year and played much better against them later in the season. And you look at your White Sox, Scott, man, you know that no matter how far they go in these playoffs, Jerry Reinsdorf is going to add to that team. And Tony La Russa is going to want to add to that team. And Tony's theory of get so far ahead, no one can catch you, played out this year.
It did. Now the Sox have to take on Houston, the redo and rematch of the World Series. Gosh, some 15 years ago, I'd have to do the math. But anyway, what do you think? I think it's going to be a heck of a series. These are best of five, of course. What are your thoughts?
Well, I really like the White Sox. I do. I think with Houston, McCullers, good starting pitcher. Valdez is a good starting pitcher. I like Lynn Giolito a little bit as a question mark to me as far as what you're going to get. He can be dominating. There's no question. But Scott, you know, the bullpen in Chicago. If they can get this thing to the sixth or seventh inning, or even to the sixth inning, they're going to be tough to beat. And Houston has some good arms. They've got the offense. There's no question. But I think with the White Sox, to me, they've got a lot of youthful power. They've had dipped their toe in the playoffs, and now I think they've got a club that can push through. That's how I feel about that series.
Cal, how do you think baseball is going to be different next year in terms of the rule changes and procedures that were in place this year? The pitcher having to show his glove and hat after every pitch, and I think the runner on second base in extra innings is going away. But
going away.
What about going forward?
Well, I'm curious to see what you guys think. I mean, I lived it. I see it every day. You start to kind of get used to it. That I did. You notice I didn't say I liked it. You get used to it and deal with it. But what do you guys take as a fan watching this and someone who covers it?
You know what?
Well, the pitcher being checked doesn't affect me because that's usually done during a commercial or a radio timeout or what have you. But I suppose the runner on second base depends on how successful your team is in that situation, whether you like it or not. I personally don't. Play 18 innings if you have to.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to have the best of both worlds if I can. I like baseball the way it should be. You get to at least play the first three innings or so, play it out. If you go to the 13th inning and you're still have a tie score, maybe you go then to starting with a runner on second. I don't know. I don't like to see it right away. And as far as the pitching is concerned, I'm up in the air as far as that is concerned. I don't like to see it. I like to see the guys that are doing something get caught. But there are a lot of guys that weren't doing anything, and that rubbed me the wrong way a little bit.
Well, and you know, so to answer both those questions, and I'll start where you left off, Scott. I look back and I think the era that I played in was known as a steroid era. And because I played during that period of time, there is this overlying assumption that everybody was doing it. And I almost feel like, yeah, I'm guilty until proven innocent, when people talk about it. And there are people, and I'll say this, people can have their own judgment. I was clean. I didn't take any steroids. Maybe I should have been. I don't know, but I can tell you that what I can do is look my own kids and these players in the eye and say that I didn't do that. I agree with you, Scott. I want guys to not be using substances on the baseball to enhance what they're doing. I want them, this should be a natural ability of what you have, what your God-given a talent and ability, what you've learned how to do, and that's how you should play the game of baseball. Now, and to a certain extent, there's some coaches don't agree with me. They think if you can find something, you use it. I don't believe that. I think that's wrong, and I think it's cheating. And I think that that's why we have to deal with what we have to deal with. I think eventually we're going to see it with all what the hitters put on their bats. You see guys spraying stuff and lacquered bats clear up to the, you know, pass a label and allow. I think that'll come. But and the other part, I really think with the extra innings. I don't know. We have a 40-man roster that can be a part of the 25, 26-man roster. And so we have pitchers. We've got guys. And that's how you find out what guys are made of on your 40-man roster. That's how you win teams. You find out how good organizations are, not just because you've paid, 20 guys a lot of money, but you've got to dip into your minor leagues. It's about your organization when you win. So I've got no problem with playing 18 innings like Mark's talking about. And sometimes that gives another kid an opportunity to come up and prove that he belongs.
We're getting to the end of our segment here, Cal. We could talk baseball for the next 3 hours, which we
no doubt,
we could podcast that and do that. But who do you like moving on to the next round?
You know, guys, I have to be just flat out honest, I was shocked as to how good the San Francisco Giants were this year.
Yeah.
Playing them in spring training, they seemed to kind of be wondering what they're going to do. And obviously they had a plan that I didn't know anything about. We wouldn't play them, so you just didn't get to see them much. But they put things together. Milwaukee, we played them well, but their pitching is something. So to me, I think, and the Dodgers are the team to beat. So I think that it's kind of a up in the air when it comes to the National League. I really feel like whoever comes out of the series that the Dodgers are in, because they could end up, you know, the team ended up having to play San Francisco. I think that's probably going to be who's going to be in the World Series. As far as the American League goes, I'm going to tell you, Tampa's a good club, a very good club, well-balanced team. So you look at what they have. Boston can get hot, and you never know about them. But I do like the White Sox, and I do like Tampa as far as in the American League.
All right.
I do like deer sticks too, Cal. I hope you get a couple.
Yeah, I'll tell you, fellas, I'm so far from being able to be in a tree stand. I know there's some people out there already enjoying it. People are sending me pictures, and but you know, it's fun to get there, and I'll send some deer sticks. That deer sausage is really good.
We'll look forward to that, and look forward to talking with you throughout October here, Cal, if that works for you. And great to have you back in Eastern Iowa, and we'll talk again.
You bet, and hello to all the baseball fans out there. Looking forward to another October, and hopefully next year at this time, I'll be too busy.
There you go.
But that's the plan.
Well, get the popcorn ready. We'll talk next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
Cal Eldred joining us, the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals here on the Gym Class at 3:37. We're going to take a break. Come back. Your fantasy football questions. Get them ready to go right now at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Chris Liss of rotowire.com joins us next. But after we get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update from you with Mark, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway in First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids.
Just 2 days after Matt Nagy decided Andy Dalton was going to be the starter if healthy, he announced today Justin Fields as the quarterback for the Chicago Bears for the remainder of the season.
Who said that?
Somebody must have given him some, I don't know, smelling salts. I don't know. Preseason All Big 12 women's basketball team is out. Two Cyclones, Ashley Jones from Iowa City and Lexi Donarski, make the team. Speaking of baseball, the Padres have dismissed manager Jace Tingler. And finally, Zach Johnson back at it tomorrow on the PGA Tour at the Shriners Children's Open in Las Vegas. Really good field, Scott. Zach will tee off at 9:35 Central Time with Brant Snedeker and Martin Trainer.
Yeah, this is by far the best field of the fall. Portion of the schedule is, why not? It's Vegas. Get out there. PGA Tour in Vegas.
5 under if you want to win.
Yeah, you got to go low. There's no doubt about that. But man alive, yeah, a good field out there. Take a break. Come back. Chris Liss of rotowire.com to answer your fantasy football questions next.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why WeatherShield windows are only sold at local trusted independent dealers, not at big box stores. WeatherShield never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship. Alexander Lumber is proud to be a WeatherShield dealer. Visit them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Conference Pride is on the line Saturday, and you control the point spread on FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel is moving the line 1 point in Iowa's favor for every 100 fans who bet them to cover against Penn State. It's all part of the Spread the Love promotion. The more bets, the better the spread. A few weeks ago, when Rutgers played Michigan, Michigan fans spread the love until they got a sure thing of 69.5 points. So Iowa fans, can you top that? And best of all, your odds are whatever the point spread is at kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. Plus, FanDuel is super easy to use, and if Penn State covers, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with promo code KUHN to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code KUHN, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager $50. Payout at -110. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Back with you at 3:40 on the Gym Class here on KGYM. We'll get what to look for tonight. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. A Bowling Night in America preview as well. Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us right now. And his appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports right here on KGYM. Chris, 3-1, 158 beautiful points. Yours truly's team scored last week. Thank you to Saquon Barkley. Big thanks to Deebo Samuel as well and others.
Nice. Saquon. I mean, Saquon might be the number one overall player now. So that's good. Very good, Scott.
Yeah. All right. 319-366-1600. We get to the questions for Chris. That is a text line. You can also reach us via the phone line as well. Let's start with 22-35 in a PPR league. Darnell Mooney or Allen Robinson this week?
I'd still go Robinson. I know Mooney had the bigger day last week, but Robinson's still the number one.
85-54, FFL question. Needs to pick two. Swift, Robinson, Gibson, or Connor?
I would go Gibson. Saints are tough defense. James Robinson. I go James Robinson and Swift.
That's the way Robbo's leaning, Chris.
Although Connor's getting the key runs and key carries, so we'll see. 1207, a lot of people probably going through this right now for Mark's poor Chicago Bears. In a PPR league, they need to replace David Montgomery. Pick one of these, Damian Williams, Chris Carson, or Melvin Gordon?
Damian Williams, Chris Carson, or Melvin Gordon? Chris, I would take Carson's hurt, and definitely Damian Williams. They're all hurt. Actually, Melvin Gordon's hurt, all three of those guys. Is there a fourth guy?
Nope, just those three.
They're all hurt. You just got to take whoever's healthy. I think if you can't make that decision now. You'll find out tomorrow whether Carson's playing, but he seems like he's kind of seriously hurt.
What are the Bears going to do at running back?
I mean, if Damian Williams is healthy, he had a bruise on his quad. I'm sure he's the guy. But they have this other guy, Khalil Herbert or something, and he's a rookie, and he – apparently, our college football guy said he was a good player in college. Khalil Herbert. Tariq Cohen's still on IR, so he's not coming back. So, I mean, Herbert could get the start. I mean, it's not inconceivable, and the Raiders' defense is okay, but it's not a bad matchup.
93-07 lost Logan Thomas at tight end. Wanted to know about free agent tight ends available, Conklin or Max Williams or Jarwin.
I would probably go Max Williams.
Yeah.
Conklin showed something. The problem with Jarwin is that it's the other guy, what's his name, is getting all the who's the other? Dalton Schultz is the guy getting all the work for Dallas. So I would skip Jarwin.
Double X Max Williams making a tremendous comeback from the heap pile of fantasy sports.
He was a second-round pick, Max Williams.
Yes, he was.
Back several years ago. And tight ends are like catchers in baseball. They take like extra, like a lot of players are good right away. Running backs good right when they're rookies. Tight ends always take a few years.
All right. 2662 has a running back question. Needs to start two of these. Gaskin, Devontae Williams, Hubbard, P. Ryan, if named starter, Khalil. Wait a minute. If Damian Williams does not.
Khalil Herbert.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. There you go. I'm trying to decipher this.
I would say it's all injury related. Like P. Ryan is a start if Mixon's out, right? And Chuba Hubbard's a start if McCaffrey doesn't come back. There's some small chance that McCaffrey will come back. So you can't answer this now on Wednesday. Sorry, night can't be more helpful, but it's just, there's no point. You have to look at the injury reports all week.
Is there a team that is more up and down dependent on one player than the Carolina Panthers with Christian McCaffrey? I mean, with him, they look great. Without him, they look lost.
Well, I think Dallas is a really tough team, and it was just a hard matchup for them. And, of course, he's a really good player, and because he's such a valuable receiver out of the backfield, he helps them. But, Darnold threw those picks. That was really what killed them in the third quarter. And Darnold, he's got all the talent in the world. He can move. He can throw. He's actually a good scrambler. But he makes that boneheaded interception. And I think that is the biggest key. If he kind of cleans up that, they'll be really good. And McCaffrey should be back, if not this week, then the next couple of weeks.
Not sure what kind of league this is, Chris. 69-23 needs two of these three: Aguilar, Crowder, or Cobb.
I'm going to say, those are pretty scrubby. I'll say sit Crowder. Crowder had a lot of targets last week. Yeah, he's got a good matchup, and Elijah Moore could be back. Aguilar, Crowder, Cobb. You know what? I'm going to say sit Aguilar. Aguilar has upside, but Mac Jones doesn't throw down the field, and he's got to show it first. So sit Aguilar out of those three.
Chris Liss of RotoWire.com joining us at 3:47 here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. John, our friend John at Columbus Junction needs two of these three quarterbacks in a two-quarterback league: Tom Brady, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones.
You got to go Brady, and then I would go Lance if he's starting, and you know Mac Jones obviously if he's not, but Lance. Those running quarterbacks are just, you have to use them if they're starting.
70-20 would like to know, you think Allen or Cousins this week?
I would go Josh Allen against the Chiefs for sure.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I like Cousins. I like Cousins' matchup too, but I mean, you know, Josh Allen is, you know, top three quarterback, and he's got as good of a matchup as there is.
68-12, running back question in a non-PPR league. Looking for one of these two, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Edmonds at running back.
I got to go CEH. Edmonds has been good, but he's splitting, and CEH is more point score. It's actually not crazy. It's actually kind of close. But CEH has gotten the work lately.
21-39 is in a PPR league. Devontae Smith or Damian Williams?
Smith pushes off more than any other receiver I've ever seen as a rookie in the National Football League and gets away with it. I gotta say that.
70 pounds, Scott. He's got to push. He's so little. He weighs 170.
Like, he didn't catch a ball Sunday. He didn't push off.
Yeah, but you know, it's like he's got. He's like so little. I mean, he's gonna. How else is gonna get out? I think he gets separation though, and want to stay away from people. It was Javonte Williams or. I mean, sorry, it was Devonta Smith or Damian Williams.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I'll go Damian Williams if he's, you know, if he's healthy, but you got to make sure he's playing.
Yeah. 33-54 in a PPR league. Barkley, Cordell Patterson, Damian Williams need two for running back. Barkley.
I mean, I'd go Patterson and Barkley. You know, Damian Williams and Patterson might be close if Williams is healthy, but just ride Patterson until they stop using him.
46-88 is in a PPR league. Needs a flex. Just one of these three: P. Ryan, Galladay, or Crowder.
I would go Galladay. I mean, he's the alpha dog he's supposed to be. He looks healthy.
Another David Montgomery question from 69-17. Replace with Connors or Carter in a PPR league?
Connor over Carter.
51-23, quarterback, Murray or Cousins?
I love Cousins. He's got a good matchup, but you can never sit Kyler Murray or Josh Allen. You can never sit those guys because they can put up, you know, three or four passing touchdowns and two rushing touchdowns.
Running quarterbacks are the new thing in fantasy football. There is not a doubt.
Yeah, they're the cheat code. Yeah, the cheat code. I mean, you just. You know, you're getting, and the thing is, these running quarterbacks like Allen and Murray, they're not like Cam Newton where they only throw 25 passes a game. These guys are throwing 45 passes a game, and they're running. So they're not even giving away. It used to be the running quarterbacks was either or. You had to choose. But now they're doing both.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Thank you, 8096, for the background on Virginia Tech's Herbert. 74-88 in a PPR league. Running backs, A.J. Dillon or McKissick?
Oof. I would say, I'm going to say Dillon, but it's in a PPR. It's a coin flip.
21-39, which quarterback do you like this week, Chris? Prescott or Stafford?
I'm going to say... The Rams are playing the Seahawks. I'll say Stafford, but that's a coin flip also. Prescott, the Giants are okay, but Prescott can light them up, no problem.
Yeah, let's get one more in here. 21-39, quarterback Prescott or Stafford?
That's what I just said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'll go Prescott this time.
I was okay. So you got all your bases covered. I'm looking ahead here, and so I missed all that. So I apologize. I apologize with that. Yeah, as you mentioned, Chris, there are a ton. And here we go. We talked about it before the year. 18 weeks now, one extra game. We already have all these injuries in the National Football League. What this is going to look like at the end, who knows how it's all going to play out.
Yeah, half your roster. I mean, you're gonna not even know the guys who are on your roster from who you drafted. You're gonna be like, who are these guys on my roster? Where did they come from? But it is what it is. It's the NFL. It's many injuries are more than ever.
Yeah. With that in mind, Chris, I know RotoWire.com has injury updates, and let the people know because it's a great way to keep up with all that.
Yeah, we track it every single day. Practice reports, rankings for the week that include who's injured and who's healthy. RotoWire.com/trial is a free 10-day trial. You do not need a credit card. You get everything we have. After 10 days, you decide whether you want to subscribe in earnest. It is RotoWire.com/trial.
All right. Hey, Chris, best of luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks. You too, guys.
All right. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com joining us each Wednesday right here in the gym class. And his appearance is brought to you by I'm On Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports. Right here on KGYM. We're going to get to a short break. We'll get to a Bowling Night in America preview and wrap up. All in one. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. We need to get to what to look for tonight, Mark. And it's brought to you by our friend James and everybody at one of the great new watering holes in Cedar Rapids over on Ellis Boulevard.
It is indeed. It's Double Z, the Double Z Bar and Grill. 17 televisions. I know they're going to have the big UFC fight this weekend. And it's located at 629 Ellis Boulevard Northwest. Famous for its tenderloin. Go ahead and like their Facebook page and follow along with stay up to date with everything at Double Z Bar and Grill.
What to look for tonight? I imagine just about all those 17 televisions are going to be on the National League wild card game with the Cardinals and the Dodgers. So that's a good place to take that in. And we'll have that for you tonight at 6:30 on all of our frequencies right here on KGYM. Quick break, come back, and we'll talk Bowling Night in America when we return. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Oh, it is Wednesday night, and that means it is Bowling Night in America. And this Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Thanks to Tom and the staff, Andy, everybody over there, and the home of Bowling Night in America. We got a preview and a wrap-up, all wrapped up into one. Tight little box with a bow on it, Mark.
Yeah, last week we were unable to give you the results of our matchup with historic matchup, I should say, with the Pen Pals. They had a little contact tracing going on. Hope all of them are well. But we've since found out that the Pen Pals beat us 19-11 as we had an awful night. We did tell you that. But trying to get back on the beam tonight against Van Horn Motors, Hall of Famer Art Barron. I'm not sure if he's in the lineup or not, but hello, Art. The Rusty Nails sit at 63-57, seventh place right now in the adult Evergreen League.
Still early. Yes, the jacket is still in the possession of the Pen Pals, and we'll try to get it back probably in the wintertime when we next face them. But yes, tonight, way over on 31-32, where strange things tend to happen with the Rusty Nails over there. Good or bad, we don't know. We'll see how it all plays out. We'll be right next to the wall television, so a little bit worried with the Cardinal fans and just their concentration level tonight.
As you should be, but you as captain need to keep them in check, especially after last week.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out, but we'll let you know tomorrow with the Bowling Night in America wrap-up on how things went here tonight. Again, thanks to Bay City Bowl and Trent Street Southwest. Mark, phone number?
362-0136. Give them a call for open bowling times. Maybe set up a birthday or company party or outing. 362-0136. More information at the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Cardinals Dodgers. We are 0-1. We both had the Yankees last night, and that did not go well. Scherzer and Wainwright. Is there any way the Cardinals win this game?
Sure there is. But I do like the Dodgers and Scherzer here. Scherzer's a gamer. That is the subject of our poll question as well, Scott. Will the Cardinals upset the Dodgers tonight in L.A.? Yes or no? That's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. It's hard for me to go against Scherzer.
The way he's been pitching as of late, I don't know how you can. Even with a red-hot Adam Wainwright, I'll be rooting for the Cardinals, but I don't think it's going to matter tonight. I think the Dodgers are going to take it, and they will move on to two teams with 100-plus wins going at it in one of the NLDS series. But you never know. Boy, the Dodgers win, 107, and then do not advance to the divisional series. How that's going to play out, we will we'll have to wait and see. But all of the pressure in the world on the shoulders of the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. We'll see how it all plays out. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk Penn State football coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We'll have more on Iowa and Penn State coming away on the Thursday edition of the show. And we will also have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you. Mark, thank you, and have a good night. We'll keep you updated. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it. Talk then.
Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next, right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups,
hey, everyone,
eat-ups, and hurry-up.